Welcome to Beyond the Pod, presented by SodaStick.com.
Brunette, he moves. Brunette back in. He scores. Minnesota has upset the Colorado Avalanche. Andrew Brunette, the game-winning goal.
Here are your hosts, the second greatest scorer in Gopher hockey history, Pat Micheletti, and the second greatest hockey analyst on this podcast, Brandon Molesky.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Pod. Brandon Molesky, along with former Golden Gopher great Pat Micheletti. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. We're guestless today, so we'll have plenty of time to talk Minnesota Wild. And we are taping this on Thursday morning, so we're coming off the loss last night in Calgary by a score of 4-3. But a four-game winning streak, even though some dicey games, winning in shootouts against the Ducks in Dallas over the weekend. Some flaws in the game, but at least, you know, the scoring has picked up a little bit after going through a drought there for a while.
You know, it has. And, you know, we're slowly, and I emphasize slowly, starting to see what they want to become and the team that they are and how they win. And, you know, winning four in a row, whatever it was, 6-1 in their last, or whatever the record is encouraging. So the signs are there. But, you know, for me, Brandon, I don't look at it game to game. You know, I look at kind of the trend from week to week, and the signs I'm seeing lately are better, are more positive. So, you know, we'll see what the next week brings.
To me, Pat, it seems like every year you and I talk about identity with a hockey team, and it seems like they're starting to find that identity. It's been quite the transformation going back to last year, and it was a team that could score five goals a game and could be down with the last 2 minutes and be able to score 6-on-5. And no matter what the score was, you always felt like that team could come back. Well, they lost some firepower. We all know Fiala's gone. Ryan Hartman's been hurt. They've had some other injuries with Greenway and Foligno and Duhame. And they've had then they get off to that really rough start where they can't play defense and can't goaltend. And it's a team that's, you know, I think had a certain identity from last year and has had to transform it into what it is now. And I feel like they're starting to find that a little bit. Doesn't mean they certainly still have some flaws, and we'll get to that in a second. But I really think the reunion of the grief line of Greenway, Eriksson Ek, and Foligno gave you a second established line, and they play a certain way. Those three just play to get better when they're together. I think the Reeves, Dewar, Shaw line is really starting to get an identity on your fourth line. Still need some help with Boldy, and you probably still need a help centering Kaprizov and Zuccarello, but at least they seem to have more up front from an identity standpoint in terms of set lines than we did earlier in the year.
Right. And you know, there's going to be a point in time when Hartman gets healthy, when Duhame gets healthy, they have a lot of guys right now that are similar in the way that they play, and they're going to have to figure out who's going to play with Boldy. I think he's kind of the odd man out right now. And, you know, there's a lot of praise for Goudreau on the, you know, in the shootout and this kind of stuff. But you're going to have to ask yourself. Oh, is
he made a bad mistake last night.
Yeah.
Is he going to be that guy? Game-winning goal.
And, you know, so they I don't even know. If they could get another forward, a legitimate forward to play with Boldy, I think that would make me feel really, really good about them. Now, Steele is playing okay with the top line right now. Can he continue to play like that? I don't know. You know, that is to be determined. Do you take that risk and let him be there? And when Hartman comes back, put him and Boldy together. And, you know, so there's a lot of unanswered questions still, but the good thing is that I look at the other teams, Brandon, and man, there's warts on some of those teams, and that gives me hope when I look at, man, we have Kaprizov, we have Zuccarello, we have the grief line. Some of those teams don't have that, and I would put them, the players I mentioned, up against some of their better players, and we come away with a win, I think. So it's there, but there's still a lot of work to do.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's say Hartman and Duhame came back tonight, and I know that's not the case. And by the time those two come back, things will change. But I just hypothetically saying, if those two came back right now, I think their lineup decisions would be pretty interesting, Pat, because I don't think you can sit Shaw and Duer, right?
Nope.
You can't put those two in the press box.
Not at all.
I mean, obviously, like, Patan would be out of the lineup, so you'd probably fill that one spot. But after that, you know, I don't think Steele's been great. I don't think he's been bad, but I don't think he's been great. You mentioned Goudreau. He's just kind of meh. I guess Ryan Reeves, you don't need to play him every game, and he could just be kind of a part-time player. But I've liked what he's brought in this small sample size of game so far, and who knows if he can do it over an extended stretch. But I've liked the element he's brought so far. He's been playing well. So it would be interesting if they had all these forwards healthy, what they would do.
Well, let's talk about Reeves a little bit, and let's be right. Let's get right to the point. Why is he here? He's not here to score goals for you. He's not here to really sustain a forecheck. He's not here to set up guys. He is here to give everybody on that bench some comfort level. And he's also here to let the other team know, you're not going to take runs at our guys. And he doesn't have to fight. You know what? He doesn't have to get in one fight here. He can, and he will, and he's tough, but he is here as a presence. And we can't forget that. And so, yeah, do you have to play him against a nondescript team that doesn't play that style? Of course not. And that's why you can bring him in and out and, you know, have that extra forward jump in. But I've seen a turn from this team, and whether it be sometimes you play harder and feel more confident because you have that. And I've noticed that in this team in the last 5 to 6 games.
You know, it's funny because when the trade happened, Pat, Reeves is the perfect player to have one side versus the other side when it comes to fans, right? You have the analytics crowd that swear by the analytics, and they look at Ryan Reeves' analytics and go, this guy's the worst hockey player in the league. And then you have, I don't want to necessarily say old school thinking, but just kind of the non-analytics thinking of, well, here are all the things he can bring to our team that doesn't necessarily show up in a box score. And you were going to have those two worlds collide when Ryan Reeves was acquired. And, you mentioned he's there for a presence, and he is. So far, though, like, he had 3 assists in 2 games.
Right.
he was creating on the forecheck. He was just disrupting things. He was making hockey plays. He was taking the body and physically hurting opposing defensemen, which can wear on a defenseman as the game goes along. I just the two ways of thinking, I think, just we have quite the experiment here with Ryan Reeves.
No doubt. And I'll bring up Nick Delorier from a year ago, right? When they acquired him. Now, if you look at Nick Delorier, not a great player by any stretch, but he was there. And I can't tell you, playing, especially in the minors when I played, it sure felt good to have a centerman who could also play, by the way. But yeah. I knew that, man, if I got in trouble, he's going to step right in and help. And that's a feeling you feel differently. I don't know how to explain it, other than the fact that there's a comfort level. And I think that's what this team needed. They're not going to get pushed around anymore as much. And I think that's going to be a real factor going down the stretch.
All right, you mentioned Kaprizov. He set the Wild record for goal streak and point streak, and he's been great. Pat, we've kind of alluded to where we think he might be ranked in terms of the league's best players, but I want to go player by player. I want you to compare whether you'd rather have Kaprizov or that player so we can get an official Kirill Kaprizov ranking from Pat Micheletti. Are you ready?
Hey, I'm ready.
All right, so I'm taking this. The list I'm using is Brian Murphy from the Sporting News. He listed his top 50 players in the National Hockey League. I'm going to go starting at one all the way down. I want you to tell me whether you'd rather have that player or Kaprizov, and then I think we will then be able, by process of elimination, land on a Kaprizov ranking. Are you ready?
I can hear yours, too, eventually.
Okay. Connor McDavid.
I take McDavid.
Me too. Austin Matthews at number two.
Boy. That's
I am glad you're reacting this way because Austin Matthews has always been kind of believed to be just like a consensus top three player. And I'm not saying he's bad or, you know, he could be in the conversation, but I always just feel like he's a little overrated nationally.
I will take Kaprizov and for a reason. I think he has more want to win and to drive a team than Matthews does. And I say this because Toronto has had the ability to make a run and that guy to lead you there hasn't gotten it done yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think Minnesota's been there yet. And when they do get there, I think that guy will be leading the way.
I would say Matthews is probably a better pure goal scorer, but that I think Kaprizov can do things, add more in the offensive zone in terms of battling and forecheck and getting sticks on pucks and setting up teammates and that kind of stuff. So I would kind of like Kaprizov's all-around game a little bit more. But, you know, if the puck's in the slot, I'd rather have Austin Matthews shooting the puck than Kirill Kaprizov. All right, so already the number two guy you have Kaprizov ahead of. Number three, they got Nathan McKinnon.
McKinnon.
I would take McKinnon as well. Number four, Cale Makar.
Makar.
I was going to say, you thought about it. I'm not thinking about that. I think Makar is a top three player in the league.
Yep.
Here's an interesting one. Number five, they have Leon Draisaitl.
No question, I would take Kaprizov.
Yeah, Leon's another one. I'm trying to imagine if Kaprizov was in the same situation as Leon Draisaitl, right? If he's playing every game with Connor McDavid, are we, you know, nationally, and I should say from a North American standpoint, are we thinking differently from Kirill Kaprizov compared to Leon Draisaitl?
Yeah, I Kaprizov.
All right. Nikita Kucherov, they have at number six.
Today, Kucherov.
Kucherov. All right. Here's an older player, number seven, Sidney Crosby. This one's tough.
It's awfully tough. I think Crosby is incredible, and I would take Crosby.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just throw the leadership on top of it, and how he can. He can lift up younger players on the team. Don't know if I think Kaprizov has energized the Wild. I think there's no doubt about that. But
you know, and we have to. We're saying today, we're not. We're not looking at.
No.
You know. The younger guy.
You need a player for tonight's game. One game tonight. Yeah. This one's interesting because I think he kind of had a bad year last year, but that was probably more so due to injury than anything else. And I'm not going to say that I've watched him a whole lot this year, but Victor Hedman, our second defenseman on this list, Tampa Bay Lightning.
I'm gonna go Kaprizov because I already took Makar.
Well, you're not creating a lineup here.
No, okay.
I tell you though, when Hedman's at his best, he can control a game.
Yes, he can. Yeah.
And because he's out there 30 minutes a game.
Are you taking Hedman?
Like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of him this year, and he had a little bit of a down year last year.
Yep.
Number nine, Alex Ovechkin.
Kaprizov.
I'm with you. Number 10, I don't know if we can compare goalies to Kaprizov, but they got Andre Vasilevsky as the 10th best player in the NHL.
You win championships with goaltending. I'll take Vasilevsky.
All right. 11, had a phenomenal, one of the best players in the league last year, Roman Josi, defenseman for Nashville.
Was he good?
Yeah.
He is super good. I take Josi on my team.
I think Josi, just because of the minutes, can control more of a game.
And I don't think, I think he's down too low, by the way.
Yeah. We'll go another goalie here then. Number 12, Igor Shesterkin.
We have Wallstedt coming, so I'm going to stay with
Kaprizov. That's not how we're playing this.
I know.
We're trying to determine who's the best player. It's hard when you got the goalie.
Shesterkin.
I'm assuming you're going to take Kaprizov over this guy, since you've already taken him over one of his teammates. Number 13, they have Mitch Marner.
No question.
Yeah, Kaprizov. They have Kaprizov listed at number 14. So you've got Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar. You said Kucherov, right?
Correct.
You picked Crosby. That's 5. Vasilevsky, Roman Josi, 6-7. So you have Kirill Kaprizov as the 8th best player in the National Hockey League.
I do.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
And I don't really disagree with any of that.
Yeah, I see him. You know, people say we're wondering, boy, can he duplicate what he did a year ago in the you know, and then another year. He's getting better. He's getting better because he's learning the league and he's learning the players, and he knows, you know, you pick up stuff all the time. And, you know, people were so, Kaprizov can't play in the playoffs. Didn't have a great playoff. His first playoff last year, he carried them. And should they make the playoffs again this year, he will be that guy again.
Boy, he's still in year 3 here, Pat, too. I mean, technically year 2.5. The first one was COVID shortened. But
I just think the sky's the limit. And the thing is, he wants it. You can just tell he wants to get better and knows he still can get better. And when you have that attitude, when you you don't just rest on your laurels, those are the guys that get to where, you know, to be the best in the world.
Well, a lot of these guys on this list who have better teammates than Kirill Kaprizov. So he's not working with the same that they're also working with. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to talk about a couple other teams in the Central Division and college hockey with you in a second. But first, I want to tell our listeners and our viewers about our sponsor on Beyond the Pod. That would be sodastick.com, SOTASTICK.com. You can use the code KFN for 15% off all their apparel. Screen printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts, and perfect right with that Christmas coming up here. It's the perfect Christmas gift for a loved one. Use the code KFN for 15% off. That's sodastick.com, original Minnesota sports inspired goods. Use the code KFN for 15% off. All right, let's talk about a couple other teams in the Central Division. The two teams that we thought the Wild would be competing with the most have been struggling a little bit. What is going on with the St. Louis Blues?
Well, we can look at Minnesota and say, we couldn't afford Fiala, so we had to move him. Well, they're in the same situation with David Perron and Ville Husso. If you go back to last year, the reason the Blues made the playoffs, one of the major reasons, was because of Ville Husso. He was the number one guy, and he was the number one guy entering the playoffs. Didn't fare well in one of the games here. They made the switch. Binnington got hot. And if you're watching Binnington this year, he is a penchant for being hot-headed, for challenging the team. Once he gets out of, you know, you get to his head, which you can, you see the results. They give up a lot of goals. So they lose Perron, and they lose Husso.
Who was huge on the power play.
Who was huge on the power play, and you take that out of that team, and we're seeing, you know, they've got some issues there. No, they still have a very good team, but they haven't found their way to win, and so that's hurt them.
You mentioned the two guys they lost, and even looking ahead to next year, they've got two guys that right now are making $7.5 million against the salary cap, and Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko, and they're going to be up against the cap next year. So, you know, so on top of the two they just lost last year, they're going to lose another one or two going into next year. So there might be some problems ahead for the St. Louis Blues. How about Colorado? You know, we knew that they lost Nazem Kadri, another team that lost some players in the offseason. Kadri, was it Buchnevich that went to Seattle?
Yes.
They, you know, Darcy Kemper, whatever you think about them, but they lost their starting goalie, had to bring in a new goalie. And now they're out without Nathan MacKinnon for the next 4 weeks.
Brandon, I looked at their lineup last night. Or was it, yeah, last night that they played Boston. Lost at home 4-0. There were a bunch of American leaguers on there. Okay. When they get healthy, they're going to be pretty good.
Yep.
But I didn't realize the effect that Nazem Kadri would have on that team. He solidified that second line, made that second line really, really good. And now you've got a young kid who I think is going to be a star in the league in time in Alex Newhook. I think he's going to be really, really good. But that being said, you know, that's handing the keys off and say, you're our second line center. You're our top six. You got to produce when you haven't produced yet.
Yeah.
When you haven't learned how to produce.
Marco Rossi situation right there.
And everybody's different, right? Everybody has a, you know, age or years experience. Everybody has a different level of where they're at. And I think he's going to be really good. But boy, all of a sudden, we all thought Colorado and then the rest of the division. Now it's, boy, they've come back to the pack a little bit. And I'm not so sold on Colorado as I was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they still have the star power that once healthy is going to be scary.
And Landeskog out too doesn't help.
So what do you think of the teams then that are ahead in the Central Division right now? You got Dallas and Winnipeg. We saw Dallas just on Sunday, and you know, Robertson looks like he's one of the best players in the league right now. He's on fire. And that team last year, Pat, I thought looked a little slow and a little old. And they played at a faster pace when the Wild played them on Sunday.
Different coach in Peter DeBoer. They've scored a lot of goals, but they give up a lot. So defensively, they're not great. You know, they're going to rely on Ottinger to be magical, and you can't expect him to be magical every night. But the way they defend, and it was evident last year, Ottinger saved them or allowed them to get to seven games with Calgary last year. That series should have been over long before that, but Ottinger was that good. He's not going to be that great every single night. And if you don't protect your goalie a little bit, you're going to be in trouble. So I'm not sold on Dallas, but hey, they're in first place right now.
And Winnipeg's right behind them. And I saw the Wild play Winnipeg in person the Wednesday night, right before Thanksgiving. And the Wild took a 2-0 in that game and scored a bunch of goals. But the one thing I noticed with the Jets is, you see them in person, they are huge. They've got some big boys, a lot of guys with a lot of long reach.
And their system has changed. They're not a run and gun team anymore, per se. I think, you know, if you look at them, they're kind of like Dallas is this year. You know, I'm going to take that back. How Dallas used to be, right? Dallas used to be a little bit tighter. Forgetting the name of their coach now, who was in Dallas a year ago. But he is coaching there now, and they're defending a little bit better. They're not giving up as many goals. Hellebuck is their guy. And you know, they can shut things down a little bit and yet still have some scoring. They're dangerous. You know, they could use another defenseman in my opinion, but in losing Ehlers for the year certainly is not, you know, it's not good for them, but they're a pretty good team.
All right, a couple of college hockey topics before we go. Pat, you know, we kind of focus on a lot of the Minnesota teams, but just west of us in North Dakota, right now, 2-5-1 in the NCHC, 6-8-3 on the season. You know, and you know they play a tough schedule, and that's a very difficult conference. That being said, any concerns up in Grand Forks right now?
Well, I've seen them play quite a bit this year, and they don't have a lot of depth up front. They have some. They have, you know, the Jason Blake's son, who is a really, really good player. He's a freshman, really good player. Reese Gaber is a really, really good player. Their goaltending has been spotty. It was great against Minnesota. It was not great after that. And so I do have concerns about where they're going to finish this year. I just don't think they have enough depth.
You mentioned Minnesota, number 3 in the country, and now moved up to number 1 in the pairwise rankings. They've been playing well here for a while. Wisconsin, I know back in your day, that was probably the rivalry. It seems like the hatred for them is not where it once was. How do you evaluate this rivalry and the weekend ahead? What do you expect?
Well, I feel bad because I think college hockey needs Wisconsin to be at the top. I think it just brings more excitement to everybody around the country when Wisconsin is at or near the top. And they've dropped off. And I don't know why. Because everybody I talk to, they tell me that is, if you want to be a head coach, that is the place you want to be a head coach. They have the facilities, they have the money, they have the backing, or at least they used to. And so I don't know what's going on there. They are playing better as of late. And they come into Minnesota this weekend, but they sit at the bottom of the league. And whether they can't retain guys or they're recruiting or whatever the situation is, it just hasn't been good.
Minnesota Duluth, they host number 1 Denver. Denver right up at top, right up top. It seems like every year everyone kind of dismisses them, and then they're always in the national conversation.
Boy, you know, I'm really shocked at Duluth. In fact, I thought Duluth was going to be better this year. And because I thought, you know, they'd have a little bit more scoring, and they've had trouble scoring and they've had trouble defending. Now they lost Ryan Fanti, their, you know, stud goaltender from a year ago. And they haven't been getting the goaltending that they need. And that's been a factor. They've been taking some penalties that you don't see UMD take on a nightly basis. You know, their discipline has been down a little bit. Knowing Scott Sandlin and knowing the way he coaches, I think they're going to be okay. But right now it's been a tough first half, and they'd be the first to admit it.
Yeah. Just 37 goals in 16 games this year for Minnesota Duluth. All right. As always, we close every show with some stick taps. Pat, would you like to go first?
I would. And, my stick tap is going to be, and my dog says hello, to college hockey's good friend and leader in the industry, and that is to associate athletic director, director of communications, VP, whatever he is, Paul Allen at Minnesota State. Announced his retirement. He'll be retiring, I believe, next Monday will be his last day. Just a terrific guy, kind of a mentor also to me, and just conversations that we've had throughout the years. You know him, Brandon, and he's a friend to everybody. So tip of the hat to Paul Allen. Great career. College hockey is going to miss you, and you deserve a nice retirement.
Yeah, the third most famous Paul Allen. And you know he's had an impact when a guy in his position announces he's going to retire, and not the entire hockey community, all people in the media jump on to say congratulations and you will be missed. And obviously you felt the need to do a stick tap. So he's had quite the impact on hockey in the state. My stick tap's going to go to Tage Thompson last night, Pat, for the Buffalo Sabres. He had 4 goals and 1 assist in the first period alone in the 9-4 win over Columbus. He ended the game with 5 goals and 1 assist. He's the 7th player in NHL history with 5 points in the first period. He's also the second fastest player ever to get to 4 goals in a game.
Can I comment on him for a second?
Sure.
Can I comment on Tate Thompson? Okay, he was the number one draft pick of the St. Louis Blues. And I did a game of his in when he was a freshman, okay? He played at the University of Connecticut. And I said, this kid is a number one draft pick. Case in point, Brandon, it takes time to develop. And I made an assumption on him way too early. And I'm really, really happy to see him progress to the player that he's become, because he's been terrific for that team.
Those were skilled goals last night too. It's not like it was not like a puck off a shin pad.
Yeah. Yep.
He had some big time goals. All right, Pat, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week, Brandon. Thank you.
All right. He's Pat Micheletti. I'm Brandon Molesky. This has been another episode of Beyond the Pod. As always, you can watch it on the KFAN YouTube channel or listen to it on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much to Pat Micheletti. We will talk to you next week right here on Beyond the Pod. Bye.